The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Welcome into another hour of a numbers game. Joe Cirillo in for Gil Alexander as Gil takes a well-deserved vacation alongside our friend Kelly Bidlin, per usual. And we're starting the hour by taking you folks to the Progressive guest line, welcoming in our friend from True Media Sports and the Expected Value podcast, Paul Carr, into the show. A lot of Champions League action to get into under this new format. Paul, how you doing? Set the scene for us, man.
I'm good. Yeah, this is kind of post-Super Bowl is usually when the Champions League bracket gets started. And this is one of my favorite sporting things of the year. Not like this day specifically, but just, I mean, you get knockout soccer because the group stages are always fun and good to some point. But, you know, you want stakes just like anything. So it's great to get that started here.
So are these all knockout games, Paul, until we get to what, the semifinals? And then we're going two legs each, or do we start that right away?
All two legs for Champions League until you get to the final. So today is the first leg of this playoff round. And the second leg will be next week, next Tuesday and Wednesday. And this is different, not so much in how the rounds work, but in previous Champions League for the past 20 some odd years, you get 16 teams into the round of 16 and you're bracketed on down to a final. This year, they made it a little bit different where 24 teams are still around as the bracket starts, but they're calling this the playoff round. It's essentially the round of 32, except eight teams have a bye into the round of 16. So there's 24 teams playing today and tomorrow in this playoff round. There's 16 teams playing in this playoff round today and tomorrow and next week. And eight of those teams will advance to the round of 16, which will start next month.
And Paul, we've got an exciting matchup right off the bat here. Man City, Real Madrid. What do you like in that one?
Yeah, this is the biggest matchup you'll have in any Champions League season, let alone this early in the tournament. They've met four straight years in the knockout stage. And so neither team, I'd say, is at the peak of where they have been over the past couple years. So the short version is I like goals in this one way or the other. And the reason is because neither team is very good defensively. Real Madrid has had a lot of injuries at center back. They've got really got a one, I'd say, good normal center back in Miguel Asensio, but he's pretty young. Other than that, moving Tchouameni, who's regularly a midfielder back there. And Manchester City, you know, we've talked about them and their struggles all season. They're really bad in transition, especially. And guess who one of the best teams in the world in transition is? That's Real Madrid. So I don't pretend to have any feel for which way this game is going to go, but I think we're going to have a lot of goals. And I'm willing to take a little bit of a longer shot here. I have over 4.5. I played at plus 290. I go down to plus 270 or so on this. The price has been dropping a little bit over the last 12 hours. But yeah, it's kind of simple. Decent attacks, bad defenses equals lots of goals.
Yeah, this is another Paul Carr play where he's going over a big number. I like it, getting some nice plus money there, plus 290, over 4.5. I like that one. And then Juventus and then PSV Eindhoven, my favorite team right there. I know you got to play in this one, Paul. What do you like in there?
Yeah, your Dutch boys.
That's right.
This is a fun one in that PSV is leading the Dutch league, high-scoring team. The Dutch league is historically high-scoring. It's the, Big 12 from an offensive standpoint if we're comparing it to college football.
Now we're speaking my language, Paul. I love it.
And then Juventus from Italy, Italian teams stereotypically and historically are your, I guess you'd say, SEC defense, low scoring type of games, grind it out. And Juve is one of the better defensive teams in the league this season. So, what's going to happen here? Someone's got to win out and all that stuff. I just think Juve is a much better team on the whole, and PSV hasn't done as well playing good teams from other leagues this season. I know they beat Liverpool in the league phase, but Liverpool was playing kind of a B team on the last day there. The game didn't mean much to them. So this is kind of just as simple as taking the better team, as I like to do from time to time. Minus 110 on Juve at home. They've been getting better. They're really kind of mucking around early on in the season, but they've been getting better. The defense is solidified even more after losing one of their better players in October. So nice and simple here. I like Juve to win this one at home.
I love the handicap. We're on the same side of this one. My logic was just more so I'm Italian, so I'm taking Juventus in this one. And
I didn't factor that in, but maybe I should have.
Yeah, absolutely. Come on, you're coming on air with Joe Cirillo right now. You had to have that one in your back pocket. Kelly, are you Dutch?
No, I'm not. I'm all over the place. Look, German, Swedish, all that, yeah.
I was going to say there's only two kinds of people in this world that I hate, and that's people intolerant of other people's culture and the Dutch, of
course.
There
you go. You and Gil could use the same joke whenever we bring on Paul to talk soccer. I like it. You're filling it perfectly.
Paul, how about Sporting Lisbon? What do you like in that contest?
Yes, this is Sporting Lisbon against Dortmund. Dortmund made the final last year, but frankly, they weren't really that good. They just kind of muddled their way through, and they've picked up where they left off in the sense that they're not having that great a season, but they're here in the knockout stage. I mean, they're in the 11th place, I think it is, in the Bundesliga, or the bottom half at least. And while their underlying numbers are a little better than that, not a whole lot. Sporting's just been playing better on the season. The only question mark about Sporting is, you know, their head coach left for Manchester United earlier this year, and they haven't been quite as good since then. They've still been good, but not quite as good. So this is really kind of a fade of Dortmund on the road. I like Sporting in this one to win at home, +130. If you want to play them to advance, meaning over the two legs, you can get that at like +115. I like that too. But the official player, +130, I just think they're a little bit better. They still, you know, they didn't lose their big forward, Victor Gyökeres, during the transfer window. That was a possibility, but he's sticking around. And Dortmund's got a new head coach as well, so they're still transitioning, just the second game under Niko Kovac. So I think Sporting is a better team. I think they're at home, and you get a decent plus money price at +130.
Paul, just looking at the futures odds here, if Liverpool is short shot right now, +450, Arsenal 6-1, Barcelona +650, Bayern 7-1, Real Madrid 8-1, Man City then 10-1, everybody else 12-1 or longer. Anything jump out to you on that board right now where you see some value in a bet?
Kelly, I'm just going to walk right into this one. I do have a sprinkle on Bayern Munich, the German team, of course, +700. They're playing Celtic in this round, so this should be a relative cakewalk to get into the round of 16. That price probably won't change much by then, but I have a sprinkle on them. If you want a long shot, Atalanta's around 20-1. They have a really nice part of the bracket in that they're not going to run into the big boys. They have coming up, they play either Aston Villa or Lille if they advance, and they play Club Bruges in this round, so they should get past that one fairly easily. So, you know, they're the best team kind of in their quadrant, if you will, of the bracket. Of course, you get to the quarters, you're going to run into like a Liverpool or a Barcelona, of course. But, you know, that price would get a lot better after they get through a couple rounds. If you want a long shot, I don't mind Atalanta at 20-1. If you want a shorter shot, kind of like Bayern. The big thing about Bayern, not big thing, but they may have a tough matchup in the next round as well. But you're in the round of 16, and that's just going to happen.
You can get Atalanta at 30-1. Over at DraftKings right now. It's why you always shop around, find the best price out there. Paul, really appreciate the time, man. Thanks so much for hopping on.
You bet, Joe. Kelly, have a good one.
Follow him on Twitter at Paul Carr. Check out the Expected Value podcast and his terrific work over at True Media Sports. Kelly, I'm glad that was the right Paul.
Well, we could easily have called Paul Spohr, and I could have screwed up the guys in the back again. So, yeah, that was thanks to John Martin again for playing along perfectly with that.
It's been a fun one. Good
guess.
That
worked out well.
Yeah. Hey, you know what? You're keeping me on my toes. I usually wake up around 11 a.m., so, you know, having to get up at 4:30, I thought I was, like, having this fever dream. Let's see what Twitter thought about this one. We've got at Cigar City Jeff, who tweets at us, at Kelly Bidlin, that segment was like walking into the ladies' room by mistake. You got the wrong John.
Yeah. Wrote down wrong numbers next to the wrong Johns. Yep.
We got another one at Ryan Hyatt Media. How good is a numbers game today with Kelly and Joe? They can just randomly call folks and get great guests. The power of VSiN Live. It's amazing. As long as no one's randomly calling any exes into the program, that would be a problem.
I mean, that was the one of the toughest parts for me and Joe is we were having such a great college basketball conversation with him during the break.
I think he thought we were on air during the break because he gave us full Creighton UConn analysis. We've got another one at Willie Cologne Foul. A special and numbers game investigation has concluded that it was the incorrect John. At Joe Serralo, Kelly Bidlin beating the book. Gil must be looking at this like, what the hell is going on?
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, and if Kelly Bidlin's on vacation tomorrow, that means something else, I'll tell you that.
Shoot, I was doing 3 hours solo nights. I hope I'm not solo tomorrow when I walk in. It'll be like the closing scene of Fresh Prince. I walk in and it's just empty in here.
Been texting with John Martin, not Phantom. Been texting with him. He's he had a good time and got a kick out of it himself. So we appreciate him rolling along with it.
That was hilarious. Let's read one more tweet at 3Jack, age 3131, at Joe Serralo, Kelly Bidlin beating the book. Gil leaves for one day and Kelly goes rogue. getting the wrong people on the phone. Great recovery on everyone's part. Hashtag great moments in a numbers game history. It was a great recovery.
It was, the crew was awesome back there, turning around the graphic and everything in time. That's right. We recover. We move on. We talk some great Champions League with Paul Carr. I love the
college football comparisons, by the way, for Paul.
Paul helps us out with that a lot. He helps us. He'd be like, this is like the AFC East, you know, bring right. your day. It kind of makes comparisons like that. So he always helps us out. Every time the Dutch get brought up, Gil makes the same
Does
joke.
Does Gil really do that? Get
every
out.
Every single time.
I went out with a Dutch girl this weekend that I made that.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
How did the joke go over with her?
I mean, we went out again.
Did she get it? Did she get the reference?
Yes, she did. She has seen Gold Member. She did get the reference. That's one of my favorites. I love that quote. I could say that. I could use that in any situation. Anytime I meet a Dutch person, I've probably used that to the point of nauseam for a lot of people.
I was very proud I got to bring up the Space Jam joke earlier, because it's very rare I work with someone that is that much younger than me.
Younger than Space Jam?
Younger than Space Jam.
I knew I was younger than
you. Have you seen the new Space Jam?
I have not. I'm not that young.
Me either. Yeah, I haven't seen it.
I can't get there.
What were the were there any like quality reviews of that afterwards?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
I don't think it was well received on that one. Kelly, I want to get to some NBA stuff with you. We'll do that on the other side. But folks, if you want to bet smarter, you need to start with smarter insights like Greg Peterson's College Hoops Best Bets or Zachary Cohen's Tennis Best Bets. And later today, you can check out the Four Nations Face-Off NHL preview from Jonathan Davis, plus a Genesis Invitational preview from Wes Reynolds. To get access to all of these terrific articles, just go to VSiN.com right now and sign up for as little as $9.99. That's VSiN.com/subscribe. Make sure you sign up today. It's more of a numbers game on the other side with Kelly Bedlin and myself, Joe Cirolla.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Folks, book now and you can get the trip of a lifetime right here at Circa. You don't want to miss this. 15% off at three fabulous properties. Derek Stevens offering an incredible deal if you want to stay at the D Hotel, the Golden Gate, or of course, Circa Las Vegas. You don't want to miss it. Stadium Swim. I was there all day Sunday for the Super Bowl, bringing you coverage. It's the best scene in town. So go to CircaLasVegas.com. Use the code VSIN15. You'll get your 15% off. Your Vegas adventure starts here. As the numbers game continues, he's Kelly Bedlin. I'm Joe Cirolla. Kelly, not as locked and loaded of an NBA slate tonight as the college hoops one that we've got, but we've still got four games. Talked a little bit about it earlier with Drew Dinsick. He gave out Chicago +5 hosting Detroit. You mentioned the Bulls have won how many of their last 20?
17 of the last 20
against
games
Detroit.
Against Detroit, against the Pistons.
I should have clarified that instead of just saying of their last 20.
No, they have not been that good of a basketball team, no.
They haven't. What do you think about that call? Are you going to tail them on that? Do you have anything else in this game?
So that one, not really. It was pretty tight. It's one of those interesting setups where they play again tomorrow in Chicago. So you get that, it's the home and then home again situation for the Bulls. This one, don't get me wrong, at current price where it opened at Pistons 3, 236.5, we have moved in the Pistons direction. I get it from Drew's standpoint. You're looking at a home dog situation with Chicago. Yes, this team has lost players. Zach LaVine no longer there. Vucevic still there somehow. I don't know, even though we've been talking about trading him for 2 years. They're catching 5 at home. That's probably where I'd lean. You're talking about last, 5-5 for Detroit, their last 10 games, about mid-level net rating. Chicago 3-6 over their last 9, but have had to go through all the trade stuff, kind of getting their feet back underneath them. I always bring up the 17-3 of the last 20. I bring that up, Joe, more from a Detroit perspective. I mean, you finally got a good team. You know some of these guys that have been playing on this team that have suffered through that streak have that in mind whenever they go and play a team like this that they've lost so many against. So, worth noting, before and 10 ATS Chicago over their last 14 games, they've been struggling just to get their feet underneath them here. Now we're getting a little bit away from the trade deadline. Do expect this team to come together a little bit, but not much for me on that game. Raptors 76ers. We get that one in Philly tonight. It looks like Embiid's probably going to play, but he is a big questionable right now.
Has been questionable for a decade.
Yeah, man. I mean, it's kind of weird that he's even listed. This is where I don't want to go too heavy into this game because you got to watch the injury report always with Philadelphia, but especially right now with Joel Embiid. I listed questionable. The dude's talking about, though, how he might need knee surgery again after this season. So you can't imagine he's in all of that great of a place. It does look like Paul George will be a go. He's listed at probable. And then the Raptors got all kinds of their own injury problems right now. RJ Barrett out for this game. Jakob Poeltl out for this game. Grady Dick looks like he will go. Expect Brandon Ingram to go. Yes, he is a Toronto Raptor now. So it's tough. This number opened to like 7 Philadelphia. We're all the way out to 9. That's getting a little hefty. If anything, I'd be looking at the Toronto side now. The problem is with no Poeltl in there, if Embiid goes, he's probably going to be able to get whatever he wants inside. The Knicks, Pacers, we got a couple great games. Knicks, Pacers, and Grizzlies, Suns. I'm really excited about those two. Knicks, Pacers, this was a lean to the Knicks for me. 6-2 in their last 8, plus 5.6 net rating. We've seen this Pacers team that was really hot for a while slow down a little bit. They're coming off a little bit a road trip, 5-3 over their last 8, just kind of a mid-range net rating over that time. Worth noting, total's gone over in the last 6 of the last 7 of the Knicks games and 6 of the last 8 Indiana Pacers games. No surprise at all to see this total get bet up. We're up to 240, 241 on this one. I still wouldn't be looking under on it, Joe, though. It would be over or nothing for me. And Knicks, pretty strong lean to the Knicks for me. I might wait with a higher scoring game like this, always in the NBA. I think this is one you can wait to see if you can get a better number in game and attack it from that perspective. Otherwise, at least wait. I'm expecting OG Anunoby gets ruled out for New York, so this number probably comes down a bit.
That's what I was going to ask you. How much does that factor in, and are you waiting on that injury news? You're just saying, hey, I'm going to assume he's out and I'll still lay 2.5?
I won't lay it pregame. I'll look to get involved live, but I would expect this number to come down a little bit, though, once he gets ruled out. It won't come down much. The Knicks have been doing this the past, what's been 3 games or something with OG. They're coming up on the All-Star break. There's really no reason. They've got this game and one more left. If he's hurting at all, just rest the guy. Get him back healthy after the All-Star break. Get this team ready to go. But Indiana, they got Miles Turner that's questionable tonight, too, that I have a feeling they might take the same approach with. So keep an eye on both those injury reports. But Knicks, I think, could be a good look live. The one bet I do have in the NBA tonight, I'm laying it with the Grizzlies. I laid it at 3, laid a little bit more to 3.5 last night. It is out to 3.5, 4. FanDuel's still got a 3.5 out there, though. I think anything up to 4.5 would be bettable for me here on the Grizzlies side. Their injury report is looking clean. Suns, look, Bradley Beal's out for this game. This organization is in just complete chaos right now. Kevin Durant coming back to this team after it looked like he could possibly be traded. The vibes in that locker room have just got to be weird right now. We know that they made a big attempt to go get Jimmy Butler, pair him alongside with Kevin Durant. There has been nothing but bad reports about what the Phoenix situation is looking like in that locker room, in that front office right now, and what the communication has been. And then you just look at what the Grizzlies have done, 12-6 over their last 18 games, plus 6.2 net rating, looking really good recently for this team. And John Morant's cruising right now. Memphis 10-4 ATS their last 14 games. Phoenix 1-4 straight up and against the spread over their last 5. So struggling a bit. We've also seen them struggle at home this season. So this is a Memphis bet for me tonight. I laid the points with them on the road.
Yeah, I mean, look at them. They're 500. What are they currently occupying? The 11th seed in the West? They're struggling everywhere. Home, road, it doesn't matter. This Phoenix team's as disappointing as any. And I always find it funny. We just flashed up the game graphic for this one. You've got Memphis, the best ATS team. Look at those ATS records. You've got the best covered team in hoops taking on the worst covered team in hoops. Memphis covering 2 out of 3. Phoenix barely covering more than 1 out of 3. Do you think that factors into the line at all? Do you think it ever gets inflated because Vegas might look at that and say, oh, well, the casual bettor is going to say it's the best ATS team against the worst, and they're going to run to bet Memphis?
Yeah, it's an interesting question, Joe, but it's one of those where the bettors and books, right, it kind of show you where they've been off on both these teams, right? They've underrated the Memphis Grizzlies for most of the season, overrated the Phoenix Suns, understandably so, with the players that they have. pretty much all season. It is interesting. I think when you get to this point in the year, I usually check in on these numbers like once a month or something like that. Because really, it really just shows you more which teams are being kind of underrated and overrated in the market. And these are, like you said, two of the best examples out there on either side of it. Memphis had some interesting injury stuff going early in the season that I think that helped play a part with. But as far as baked into this specific line tonight, not all that much. This is just more of Phoenix just a disaster right now. I've been picking on them the past couple games. I played Denver the other night against Phoenix, and I see no reason to back off that approach right now.
Yeah, I mean, look, you know, and you know this, right? We balance each other well because I'm the college hoops guy. You're the NBA guy. I hardly place any NBA action. I think I'm getting in on Memphis in this one.
Yeah,
I mean, Phoenix is astoundingly overrated. You look, they're only catching 3.5. Now, preseason, you'd probably be floored to see that they're catching 3.5 at home against Memphis. But even so, I mean, they've covered just 8 out of 26 at home this year.
Yeah, it's pretty absurd what's been going on with them at home. Those numbers have definitely been adjusted. We've seen that throughout the season. But yeah, like Memphis tonight. I know College Hoops, you're looking at a couple games, right?
Yeah, I've got a few in the college hoops league, and we'll dive in more, obviously. But, you know, we talked about it with our buddy John Martin, the correct John, who we had on the line earlier. And I'm big in this Alabama game. You know, I got it last night. I wasted no time. -3. Now you're seeing 4s and even 4.5s out there. But I think Nate Oates' team, and you know, I kind of love to hate Nate Oates, going back to when he was at Buffalo and I was a student at Bonaventure, and he'd come in and, oh, there's such a trashy student section and their fan base. And so I look to fade Nate Oates, or at least root against him any chance I can. I can't here. I mean, I absolutely cannot go against the guy in this spot. This Texas team, don't forget, they were ranked. They were top 25 preseason.
Yeah.
They've been such a disappointment. Bama in conference play, I mean, you know, they received votes for good reason to be the number one ranked team in the country. They're coming in here second ranked, 9-1 straight up conference play in the best conference in hoops, 7-3 against the number. And they've actually been better on the road, 5-0 straight up, 4-1 against the spread away from Tuscaloosa. What I love about this Bama team, their 3 straight up losses, they were actually sizable favorites in all of them. But as a favorite of 4 or shorter, and this one's fallen on 4, 5-0 straight up, 5-0 against the number.
They hit the
glass great. Number one scoring offense in the country. Number 2 in rebounds. Texas, in terms of offensive boards, just 13th in the conference in attacking the offensive glass. They're not going to get second chances, and you know that they can't outshoot Alabama. So if they're not going to at least get second chances or try to dominate them, bully them inside on the glass, I don't see a path to victory for Texas.
I like it. You got any futures bets in your pocket right now in college basketball?
I haven't yet,
okay.
But the SEC is so deep.
Yeah.
I would stay away from Auburn. And we could talk about that on the other side. The SEC conference tournament is going to be very intriguing to me. I think Tennessee can make some noise. I think Florida can make some noise. We'll dive into that down the stretch a little bit here. He's Kelly Bidlin. I'm Joe Serrallo. More A Numbers Game after the break.
Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Folks, in sports betting and in trading, probability is a key to success. Discover the power of high probability trading with Todd Bubba Horowitz, former floor trader and sports bettor with over 45 years of experience. Just go to bubbatrading.com/VSiN and get a free ebook on options trading and use the code VSiN500. You'll save $500 on any purchase. The Numbers Game continues. He's Kelly Bidlin. I'm Joe Serrallo, taking you through this fine Tuesday morning here on VSiN, and taking you back now to our progressive guest line as we get ready to talk about the Four Nations face-off with VSiN's NHL betting analyst. Follow him at West Coast Hockey on Twitter. Our friend Jonathan Davis. Jonathan, how are you? Welcome into the show. And, you know, as we've got a new experimental tournament here, kind of set the scene for our audience and break down what we should expect with this new Four Nations face-off.
Well, guys, thanks for having me. And, you know, this is kind of like, for an NBA fan, this is like a bunch of dream teams that are all getting together from, you got 4 different countries participating here: Canada, the U.S., Finland, and Sweden. And especially when you're talking about Canada and the U.S., these are dream teams. You know, Canada's got Sidney Crosby, Nathan MacKinnon, and Connor McDavid all playing on the for Team Canada. The USA has got Jack Eichel of the Golden Knights, Austin Matthews of the Maple Leafs, and the Tkachuk brothers, just to name a few. So you've got major star power here. I think the one thing for me that I'm most intrigued about is how physical this game gets, because if you're going up against one of your NHL teammates on another country, are you really going to lay him out with 25, 27 games to go as you're trying to make a run for the playoffs in the Stanley Cup?
Yeah, that's a great call. That's part I didn't really think of before, but we're kind of in an all-star break. It's a weird, you're putting on the sweater of your home country. You would think you're going to try as hard as possible, but you're right. I don't know. You want to go and injure one of your NHL teammates or something. That's something wild to watch. I want to hit on the futures with you before we kind of get into some of the games. How are you been approaching just kind of handicapping this and breaking this down? And USA, Canada, should they really be co-favorites here at the top at plus 160?
I think they should. And, you know, they are the two best teams. And you could argue that the U.S. is actually stronger than Canada. They have the better goaltending here. You know, you've got two guys in Connor Hellebuyck from the Winnipeg Jets, who's got almost as many shutouts as he does regulation losses this year. That's remarkable. He is an MVP candidate. And then if Connor fails, then you've got Jake Oettinger from the Dallas Stars. Canada's a little weaker in goal. Aiden Hill, the Golden Knights, is their best goalie, but Canada's very strong up front and on the back end. So, you know, Canada-US, by the way, Saturday night is that's the big game. That's the one that everybody is looking forward to. That's the game in Montreal. From a handicapping standpoint, the way I'm approaching it is that I'll take a look at not trying to find someone to, you know, be the leading scorer for the tournament, but really I've gone through individual teams in my column up on VSiN.com, where I'll go for who I think will lead their team in goals and who will lead their team in points. Because, you know, this is all about usage here. And because you've got such deep lineups here with such talented players, I'm looking for guys that are playing on one of the top two lines and also getting power play time.
Yeah, so I wanted to ask about before we get into the individual games, the MVP market here. You mentioned Hellebuyck. He's 12-1. To win it. Is that where your money is going in this? Or do you find value if you look a little deeper down the board? Obviously, McDavid at 7-1, the clear choice to be the favorite in this market.
Yeah, I mean, look, there was an informal poll that The Athletic took, and I think Connor Hellebuyck was the winner. I mean, it's fair. For me, that, you know, if you're talking about, no, sorry, are we talking this tournament or are we talking about the league?
For the tournament.
Yeah, I think that, you know, look, if the USA wins, there's a good chance that Connor will be the guy. I think that with Canada, there's just too many weapons to choose from here. So for me, I would rather go with Connor Hellebuyck to win MVP as opposed to Connor McDavid.
All right, I like it, Jonathan. So we got I don't want to give away everything that's up at VSiN.com. I know you wrote up a bunch there, but opening games here, we're starting off today. Any action on the one here this morning or this afternoon, I should say?
Actually, no, we're starting tomorrow. Tomorrow night, it's Canada and Sweden, 8 o'clock Eastern in Montreal. You know, basically the way I'm going to target it is that I've looked at two players for Team Canada. And that's both Cale Makar, their defenseman. I like him for the most points in this tournament. And then I'm going to go with the Vegas Golden Knights as my long shot for most goals, Mark Stone. He's playing on a line with Connor McDavid and Sidney Crosby. Guys, if I'm the opposition, I'm focused more on Crosby and McDavid. And Mark Stone can just kind of sit by the side of the net and just wait for one of those two guys to pass and then just tuck in an easy goal. So I'm not going to look at individual games and go for, you know, necessarily individual points in a game. I'm just right now, I'm sticking with my future bets. I'll take a look tomorrow and get a better idea of where we're at for some of the lines for the games, but I'll stick right now with the futures. I think there's much better value there.
Yeah, Jonathan, and I want to get into some second half futures for the NHL season, but last thing on the Four Nations I want to ask. The U.S.'s first game Thursday against Finland. You mentioned Hellebuyck and how high you are on him and all of his shutouts and the tremendous resume he's putting together. This total is sitting up there at 5.5. Would Hellebuyck make you lean under in this one?
I'll tell you guys, if I had to bet, if I'm betting a total, I would actually tend to lean more to overs because I have a feeling that we're going to be playing almost like beer league hockey, as we like to say. You know, the guys getting together tonight, no one wants to hurt each other. I think we may see a lot of free-flowing play. I think we may tend to see a lot of goals in these games. I'd be scared about playing 5.5 with all the firepower on all four teams.
All right, Jonathan, I want to shift gears to the NHL second half. We were, 11 days away, Saturday, February 22nd, we return into action. And this Eastern Conference, to me, feels like it's pretty wide open. So when you look at the futures, Carolina, the favorite, plus 320. You've got Florida, obviously, 4-1 there. Toronto, my Devils, mixed in. And then the Capitals at 7-1. I mean, Washington's got the most points far and away, yet they're sitting there at just 7-1. Can you make sense of that for us? And where would you be looking in this Eastern Conference futures market?
Well, yeah, there's just very little respect for the Washington Capitals. I mean, they have caught everybody by storm. This was a team, if you're not familiar, that made the playoffs last year with one of the worst goal differentials in NHL history. They gave up 37 more goals last season and made the playoffs and they scored. They've turned things totally around this year. You know, Alexander Ovechkin is the story in Washington. But I think that everyone's wondering, are they going to be playoff, are they playoff ready? Florida Panthers, defending Stanley Cup champions. My concern with Florida is that, they played a lot of games the last couple of years in going to the Stanley Cup finals. Yeah. Are they going to have enough left in them? But it's hard to bet against right now Florida to make it through the Eastern Conference. I think they're still going to make a trade. I'm not as confident with Carolina and their goaltending. So I still am buying into what the Florida Panthers are selling.
Jonathan, shifting over to the West, how do we see this stacking up right now? We're seeing the Oilers 3-1 for the short shots to win the Western Conference. How do you see this playing out down the stretch?
I'm waiting for the Golden Knights to make a trade because that's what Kelly McCrimmon, their general manager, does. He somehow finds a way to sneak guys in under the salary cap. In the past, it's been based on injury. But this team has only got one goal in mind with owner Bill Foley. It's to win. There's no participation prizes like you have in, our kids playing soccer or what have you. So I like the Golden Knights. I think they're one of the best rosters in the NHL. My only concern with Vegas, guys, is that their record against number one goalies in the last 13 games, they've only got two wins. Their success has come against backup goalies. They've won 13 of 14 against teams playing either their second, third, or even four string goalies. So they've got to get better in that area. But I think for Vegas, look, they've been there before. They know what it's all about. They're going to make a trade. It's hard for me ever to bet against the Golden Knights.
Jonathan, before we let you go, we mentioned Washington in the East, 7-1. Winnipeg in the West, 7-1, just to win their conference, not even to win the whole thing. Any intrigue there on the Jets?
I'd have more intrigue in the Capitals than the Jets. Huh. I just think that, look, Connor Hellebuck's has not proven it in the playoffs his last 2 years. He's folded up like a bad tent. I'm a little concerned. They're really, they're a great regular season team. I just can't go against the Golden Knights, but I do see where there's value in playing Winnipeg.
Love the hometown love here for the Vegas Golden Knights. Jonathan, thanks so much for the time, man. Really appreciate it.
Thank you, guys.
Make sure you follow him on Twitter at West Coast Hockey. That's HKY for hockey. VSiN's NHL betting analyst, Jonathan Davis, got some great articles and insights up on VSiN.com, which can be yours, $9.99, your first 30 days. If you go to VSiN.com/subscribe and sign up now. Does that baffle you at all, Kelly, that the Capitals and Winnipeg Jets are both around 10 points ahead of the next best team in their conferences, yet they're just 7-1 to win their conference?
Yeah, it is pretty crazy. Man, this the fact that Ovechkin's even a thing for, like, this race for Gretzky, like, this
that
is...
he's still
this
a thing?
Is, yeah, it's wild.
I know, it's like he came out in 1996.
But he's 15 goals out, right? Yeah, 15 goals out, like, this is going to be fun as hell to watch down the stretch.
Yeah, and he can get healthy because Russia's not in the face of the,
right, yeah.
Face the Nation thing.
They were now, left now we're out, apparently.
What is it, Four Nations? I keep calling it Face the Nation.
Nation's face off.
Like we're watching politics on a Sunday morning. More a numbers game after the break.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Been an eventful one this morning here on a numbers game. He's Kelly Bidlin. I'm Joe Cirillo as we get ready to wrap up a fun 2 hours together. Get used to it, folks. We've got 2 hours together every day for the next 2 weeks.
Great.
Kelly and I do. I'm excited about it, man.
Oh, we're having some fun. Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be a blast. We've got NBA All-Star action, no NHL. I love doing a sports talk show when there's no sports.
I don't understand for the life of me. And this is, look, I'm an NBA fan. The NBA, I can only speak for them. I think the NHL does the same thing. But, like, they so intelligently schedule around the NFL while the NFL is going on. But then as soon as it gets done, they're like, hey, let's go on break two.
Right.
Like, what? Like,
like the break should, I don't know, maybe be like Super Bowl weekend.
Yeah, or even
or conference
earlier,
champion,
right?
Divisional weekend, yes, you know, when there's games every day. Yeah, it makes no sense. But a lot of things the NBA do seem to make no sense.
Yeah, no, I can't explain it.
You want to fix it? Start the season on Christmas. Make Christmas Day opening day and shorten it to like 64 games.
I cannot argue. I cannot argue either of those. I like the longer season from a betting standpoint, but man, just with health and how we've seen players approach this stuff, I can't sit here and argue that we shouldn't cut down games.
Jimmy Butler, mark my words, at some point in the next 2 years is going to make more than $1 million a game. Going to be making 60 mil. I guarantee there's a year he plays like 50-55 games.
I'll pull up the numbers on Joel Embiid now.
Yeah,
he's
exactly.
His entire career. He's missed about as many games as he's played. So
I mean, that's is he going? I wanted to ask you this before. You were kind of going rapid fire down Toronto and all the games. But when we got to Toronto, Philly, is Embiid going to go down as one of the biggest what ifs in NBA history? Because we know what his peak is. We've seen his peak, but we've only seen it for 400 and something out of a potential nearly 900 game.
Yeah, and that's a great question. I mean, what erases that? What takes you out of the what if category? If you win a championship, like, is it Maybe. Still a what if, even if he wins one? Because it probably is.
Is he going to go to Springfield?
I mean, this is like
he's a Hall of Fame caliber player. Will he be a Hall of Famer, though?
But the NBA's a little, the Basketball Hall of Fame, right? You're a little bit tighter with that stuff.
I find that they're a little more liberal, a little more lenient than compared to Cooperstown or the NFL.
Yeah, we'd have to look back at some other ones. Yeah. But that's the problem. Even if they win a championship, that question still applies, right? Like
if he wins a championship, he's got a better shot at getting in. But I mean, right now, the way things stand, yeah, he's got the stats and the per game averages, but I don't think Embiid's a Hall of Famer.
I'm talking more about your what if question, right?
Oh,
right.
They
could still win a championship with the guy. You'd still ask yourself, well, what if he had played more?
How many could this have been?
Because you're right. We've seen peak Embiid, and it is about as good as it gets in the NBA. It really is. It's probably going to go down as one of those stories, man. It really is.
Probably is. Let's get to some best bets, of course, brought to you by GBank, the official bank of VSiN. I've got a couple in college hoops tonight. We already ran through it. We'll circle back to it shortly, but Alabama laying 3 at Texas now. It's pretty much a 4 anywhere. I would still do it. This Nato squad is ridiculous. SMU, also like them at home, laying 4.5 against Pitt. The Mustangs have the best offense in the ACC. Pitt really on a skid. They've covered and won just 2 out of their last 9. We'll get back to them. Kelly, let's get to your action.
Yeah, circle back to those games. Just one in the NBA for me tonight. Did lay it on the road with the Grizzlies tonight at Phoenix. Laid 3. There's 3.5 still out there right now. I think anything out to 4.5 would still be okay for me. As far as guests on the show, Drew Dinsick won in the association tonight. He is on the Bulls catching 5 points at home against the Detroit Pistons. And then Paul Carr with some Champions League action. I will add one.
I'm going to tell him on Juventus. Just because they're Italian and I'm Italian.
Go ahead, man. He's been on fire, too, the past few weeks on the show. I will bring up one, if you're watching at home, we don't have listed there. He did bring up that he did bet Bayern Munich 7-1 to win the Champions League. So one futures bet out there for you, too, that we do not have on the graphic here. But then he's got Man City, Real Madrid, over 4.5 at plus 290. We've seen Paul a couple times over the past few weeks go over on these alts. So plus 290 and over 4.5. He's expecting a lot of goals in that game between Man City and Real Madrid. And then, like you said, Juventus just to win against PSV Eindhoven minus 110. And then Sporting Lisbon plus 130 versus Dortmund.
Never even heard of Dortmund until today.
The Bundesliga.
Should I know Dortmund or no?
They're one of the bigger German teams.
Didn't he say they were like 11th in that league or something?
They've had good years in the past. How about that, Joe?
Okay, a little nostalgia.
One of like 3 German teams I could name. How about that?
Okay, there you go. Yeah. There you go. I think Bayern Munich is it for me.
Yeah.
Best bets, of course, brought to you by GBank. GBank's up in the ante, folks, with up to a $750 bonus for new GBank Visa Signature Card customers. First, new customers who spend $1,000 on eligible purchases within 90 days from account opening receive a $250 bonus. Now, this is where they're up in the ante, because in addition, if you spend $50,000 on gaming and sports app loads within the 30 days of your account opening, you'll receive another $500 bonus. That's potentially a $750 bonus. Apply now, VSiN.com/GBank. That's VSIN.com/GBank. Subject to credit approval, terms and conditions, of course, apply. Want to circle back to some college hoops action because we've got a locked and loaded, jam-packed, heavy slate here on a Tuesday night. We already went over the Alabama game. I'll just reiterate, look, for Bama, this is twofold. It's not just the number one scoring offense in the country. They are also one of the most ferocious teams on the glass in the nation. Texas, a very underwhelming team. They're not going to get a lot of second chance opportunities. 13th out of 16 SEC teams in offensive rebounding, under 10 per game. Bama hits their shots. If Texas isn't, which I don't think they will at the volume that Nate Oates' Crimson Tide do, they're not going to get those second chance ops. They're not going to be able to compete from long range with Alabama. Give me the Tide. Got them laying 3 last night when I was up because I couldn't sleep. ACC action.
I like it, yeah. Yeah, Bama, what, your sixth rated team over at KenPom right now? Looking pretty dang good.
I mean, they're number 2 in the AP top 25, and you can easily make a case for them to be number 1. I wouldn't be shocked at all. In fact, and we're going to dive into this a little more on tomorrow's episode, we'll look at some SEC conference tournament odds. You know, Bama, a week or two ago, last I checked, maybe a week ago, they were 5-1. And I thought that was good. There's a lot of Auburn is so heavily juiced. There's a lot of value in the SEC. Right now, you've got the teams ranked 1, 2, and 3. You got Tennessee ranked, what, 5th? Kentucky ranked 5th? I mean, there is a lot of value. If there's any parity in the SEC conference tournament, there's value to be had out there. ACC action, SMU, most points per game in the conference. Look, I'm not comparing them to Duke. Obviously, you know, I'm not going to say just because they're averaging more points per game, they have a better offense than Duke. Duke wiped the floor with SMU. But this is a Pittsburgh team that is just absolutely struggling. They've won and covered 2 of their last 9. They're just 2-6 against the number after a loss. They're currently on a 3-game skid. SMU, one of the nation's best teams from beyond the arc. 39% from deep. Pitt, 13th in the ACC in terms of three-point defense. Very underwhelming there. So give me the Mustangs, -4.5.
I like it. How often are you betting college hoops? Every single night?
Every day.
Every night?
Every single day, yeah. At this point in the season, once football, you know, came to an end, and when I say came to an end, I mean really like after conference championship weekend, then it's just college hoops every day. Look, today is dangerous because this is one of those days where I can easily want to fire off 5 or 6 plays, and I got to kind of limit myself. There's another one I'm really looking at, and it's also ACC action, Syracuse-Miami.
Okay.
The Miami Hurricanes are probably the most, I'm not going to say the worst team in college hoops. There's 360 of them. The most embarrassing team in college
basketball. I don't mind hearing this. Florida State grad here. I don't mind hearing that. Yeah.
There you go. What, you didn't get into Miami? Is that what happened?
or couldn't afford it, more like that.
Yeah, there you go. They have won just a single game under their new coaching regime. Once Larrañaga gave them the boot, and they're favored at home for no apparent reason. It's a Syracuse team covering about 57% of their games this year. I can't get behind this Miami team to, you know, win and cover. If they were catching 5 and a hook, sure. But the fact that they're favored against, look, I know it's a down year for Syracuse, but a down year would be way better for Miami than whatever the hell this is. I mean, they lost at home to Mount St. Mary's and Charleston Southern. Not that they didn't cover. They lost those games outright. Absolute utter embarrassment. Can't get behind them. Q's +105. If you shop around, you can find +110 on the money line. Really intriguing to me. And then another dog that I'm intrigued by. Santa Clara is catching 9.5. I wanted to wait, see if this got to double digits. It's pretty much stood pat where it opened. Look, St. Mary's is a force. I had a money line when they were dogs against Gonzaga a couple Saturdays ago. But 9.5 points? This is a Santa Clara team that's been covering a lot this year. I just think it might be too many.
All right, I like it. Nice little whip around college basketball. There we go.
Yeah, we'll get back to some futures odds tomorrow in college hoops. That'll be fun to dive into. By the way, just to recap our John Martin, John Fanta little blunder earlier, which was actually turned out to be one of my favorite parts of the show. He brought up this Florida-Mississippi State game, and I completely agree with him. The spot would say play Mississippi State. I just think Florida's too good. You know, I don't have it because it's one of those locked and loaded slates where you kind of have to limit yourself. But if you're getting a pick 'em here, Florida can easily throw up 85 on them like it's nothing. Mississippi State just can't hang, can't play that style of ball. That'll do it for a numbers game, folks. Make sure you stay tuned into VSiN, though. Money Moves up next. Stormy Bonantoni, Matt Brown here in studio, noon Eastern, followed by a revamped Prop Points with Nick Whalen and Jeff Erickson at 2 Eastern, and then Make It Rain with my guy, Adam Schein, 3 Eastern, right here on VSiN. He's Kelly Bidlin. I'm Joe Cirillo. That does it for A Numbers Game.